Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate, Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 42521 through 42574 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We have a letter of protest on tract number 42524 from Intervest Operating LLC, dated February 27, 2012. We also have a letter of protest on tract numbers 42524, 42552, 42558 from Dennis Bates and Bullen LLP, dated March 6, 2012. The staff has reviewed these letters of protest and the tracts will remain up for today's sale. There will be no tracts recommended to be withdrawn from today's sale, and this we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We received one bid on tract 42521, advertised as 47 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Petroleum Partners, LLC. Petroleum Partners, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $15,322. $15,322, or a per acre value of $326. Annual rentals are $7,661. $7,661. Royalties are 20.5%. We received two bids on track 42522, advertised as 42 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Petroleum Partners, LLC. Petroleum Partners, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,692. $13,692, or a per acre value of $326. Annual rentals are $6,846. $6,846. Royalties are 20.5%. The second bid on track 42522 is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $21,000. $21,000, or a per acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $10,500. $10,500. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracts. Tract 42523 through 42540. We did receive one bid on track 42541. Advertised as 19 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $23,275. $23,275, or a per acre value of $1,225. Annual rentals are $11,638. $11,638. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 42542, advertised as 14 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,150. $17,150, or a per acre value of $1,225. Annual rentals are $8,575. $8,575. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 42543, advertised as 46 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $56,350. $56,350. Or a per acre value of $1,225. Annual rentals are $28,175. $28,175. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 42544, advertised as 19 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $28,500. $28,500, or a per acre value of $1,500. Annual rentals are $14,250. $14,250. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 42545, advertised as 378 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 71 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,118.92. $10,118.92, or a per acre value of $142.52. Annual rentals are $5,059.46. $5,059.46. Royalties are 20.5%. The second bid on track 42545 is for a portion containing 71.14 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,141.72. $10,141.72. $1,000.72, or a per acre value of $142.56. Annual rentals are $5,070.86. $5,070.86. Royalties are 20.5%. We received two bids on track 42546, advertised as 982 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 357 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $52,678.92. $52,678.92, or a per acre value of $147.56. $147.56. Annual rentals are $26,339.46. $26,339.46. Royalties are 20.5%. The second bid on track 42546 is for a portion containing 307 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $46,823.64. $46,823.64, or a per acre value of $152.52. Annual rentals are $23,411.82. $23,411.82. Royalties are 20.5%. We received one bid on track 42547, advertised as 698 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 202 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,821.06. $31,821.06. Or a per acre value of $157.53. Annual rentals are $15,910.53. $15,910.53. Royalties are 20.5%. We received one bid on track 42548, advertised as 36 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,441.80. $10,441.80. Or a per acre value of $290.05. Annual rentals are $5,220.90. $220.90. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 42549, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,602. $11,602. Or a per acre value of $290.05. Annual rentals are $5,801. $5,801. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 42550, advertised as 29 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,251.45. $7,251.45, or a per acre value of $250.05. Annual rentals are $3,625.73. $3,625.73. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 42551, advertised as 39 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,751.95. $9,751.95, or a per acre value of $250.05. Annual rentals are $4,875.98. $4,875.98. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on track 42552. We did receive one bid on track 42553, advertised as 1,344 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 45 acres. The bidder is West Grove Energy Holdings, LLC. West Grove Energy Holdings, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,465. $12,465, or a per acre value of $277. Annual rentals are $6,232.50. $6,232.50. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 42554 or 55. We did receive one bid on track 42556, advertised as 1,758 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 450 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One, LP. Hillcore Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $193,050. $193,050. Or a per acre value of $429. Annual rentals are $96,525. $96,525. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 42557, advertised as 1,390 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 362 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy 1 LP. Hillcore Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $125,614. $125,614. Or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $62,807. $62,807. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracts, 42558, R59. We did receive three bids on track 42560, advertised as 1,409 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 28 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy 1 LP. Hillcore Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,716. $9,716. Or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $4,858. $4,858. Royalties are 23%. The second bid on track 42560 is for a portion containing 45 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy 1 LP. Hillcore Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,487.50. $12,487.50. Or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $6,243.75. $6,243.75. Royalties are 22.5%. The third bid on track 42560 is for a portion containing 347 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy 1 LP. Hillcore Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $120,409. $120,409. Or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $60,204.50. $60,204.50. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 42561, advertises 846 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 234 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $64,935. $64,935, or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $32,467.50. $32,467.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We received two bids on track 42562, advertised as 1,155.95 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 38.04 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,199.88. $13,199.88, or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $6,599.94. $6,599.94. Royalties are 23%. The second bid on track 42562 is for a portion containing 134.97 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $37,454.18. $37,454.18, or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $18,727.09. $18,727.09. Royalties are 22.5%. We received two bids on track 42563, advertised as 1,450 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 80 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,200. $22,200, or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $11,100. $11,100. Royalties are 22.5%. The second bid on track 42563 is for a portion containing 107 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $29,692.50. $29,692.50, or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $14,846.25. $14,846.25. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 42564, advertised as 743 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 16 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,440. $4,440, or a per acre value of $277.50. Annual rentals are $2,220. $2,220. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks, 42565 through 42568. We did receive one bid on track 42569, advertised as 2,202 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 42.72 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,311.20. $14,311.20. Or a per acre value of $335. Annual rentals are $7,155.60. $7,155.60. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 42570. We did receive one bid on track 42571, advertised as 2,370 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 152.89 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $51,218.72. $51,218.72, or a per acre value of $335. Annual rentals are $25,609.36. $25,609.36. Royalties at 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 42572 or 42573. We did receive one bid on track 42574, advertised as 158.66 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is TDX Energy, LLC. TDX Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,391.30. $48,391.30. Or a per acre value of $305. Annual rentals are $24,195.65. $24,195.65. Royalties are 22.5%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the biz meeting. The committee meeting should begin around 9:30.
number one. The Lease Review Committee will now be called into session. Roll call, Mr. Harper.
Here.
Mr. Segura. Mr. Arnold.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz. Mr. Ingram. Mr. Martin.
Here.
Mr. Sanders. Ms. Smith. And Mr. Graves. We have a quorum. Mr. Talbot, would you please present the agenda? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Chairman Smith, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,881 active leases covering nearly 849,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 250 leases covering 136,000 acres. Another 250, there are two leases to discuss in more detail. Our first lease being State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bay, operated by Cox Operating LLC. The staff last reviewed this lease on October 13, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Cox Operating 6 months after the completion of the State Lease 195QQ number 365 to provide a plan of development for the remaining non-producing acreage. The staff is happy to report to this board that the obligatory well was successfully completed in the Levin Sand on 9/10/2011 with an average daily rate of 862 barrels of oil and 1.2 million cubic feet of gas. The total production reported for 5 months now stands at 106,000 barrels of oil and 1.4 BCF of gas. By letter dated March 12, 2012, Cox reported that they are monitoring the well and gathering reservoir data that will be integrated into their 2012 drilling program. It was also reported that they plan to drill a second well this year and possibly a third well by year's end. Two workovers performed on the lease resulted in an increase of 106 barrels of oil per day in the field. The staff is recommending accepting Cox's report and granting Cox until September 12, 2012 to report on the status of their 2012 drilling program and any other lease activity. Are there any questions? Our second lease is State Lease 1217 at Beta Shane Field. Swift Energy Operating is our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on February 8, 2012. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to defer action on this lease until March 14th board meeting to allow for additional time for the staff to define the productive areas encompassing the lease. After identifying approximate areas of productive and non-productive acreage, the staff is recommending that within 180 days of this board meeting, that Swift Energy drill an obligatory well located on or affecting the non-productive acreage on this lease or release 700 acres. Are there any questions? That concludes my portion, Mr. Bradbury.
The force majeure report, we have one new item to report, Chairman Smith. We have a request by Chevron for a force majeure for three state leases concerning rig availability. This is a very deep well. It's drilled already to 25,000 feet. They figure they're going to drill another 3,000 feet. Problem is they have to take the rig off location, do some location work basically, and move the rig back on. And they have some engineering work, and they got to make sure that they've also have to fabricate a new blowout preventer and all that kind of stuff. So they've got some work to do. The way we were going to suggest in this case, because of the work and the timeline of the work, that we go ahead and recognize a six-month force majeure from today or to the 9/12 or the September 12th board meeting. That'll give them time to conduct, you know, do the engineering surveys and get all those appropriate, any other permits that may be required to continue drilling the well. And that's it. It's the only thing new today, sir.
I have a question. I see a number of other companies. Are the Chevron is added to the existing?
Yes, sir. It is being added to the list. These other ones have been reported at previous meetings.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Any public comments or questions?
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Ms. Smith. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. I have a motion from Mr. Cordero, second from Mr. Martin. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Harper, Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith.
Here.
We have a quorum. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 54 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. We received several letters of protest, one being from Intervest Operating LLC dated February the 27th, 2012, pertaining to tract 42524 situated in Union Parish, Louisiana. We also received letters of protest from Dennis Bates and Bullen LLP, all dated March the 6th, 2012, pertaining to tracts 42524, 42552, and 42558. The staff reviewed the most recent state land water bottoms layer and determined that the aforementioned tracts contain claimable water bottoms. Therefore, tracts 42524, 42552, and 42558 were advertised correctly and are to be left up for today's lease sale. The final item deals with nominations received. We received 113 nominations in this office for the May 9, 2012 lease sale and are pending approval by the board for advertising. We have, it has been requested that 32 inland nominations, being nominations 12050003236, be advertised with a 5-year primary term in lieu of a 3-year primary term. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned tracts received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the May 2012 lease sale.
Mr. Fontenot, just a point of clarification. The last tract number you cited was 36. The typed version of the agenda says 63. Which one is correct?
That is correct. It's 63. My apologies. Thank you for that.
Again, in a motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Smith. Second by Mr. Diaz. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, I need a motion and a second to adjourn the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee meeting.
Motion.
Motion by Ms. Smith. Second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Any opposed? Meeting's closed.
I'd like to call roll for the Audit Committee. Mr. Smith. Mr. Diaz.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Harper.
Here.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Ms. Smith.
Here.
And Mr. Morton?
Here.
With myself, we have a quorum. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Good. Thank you. Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Energy 21 Gulf Coast Incorporated for a penalty in the amount of $141,742.96, which was billed for the late payment of royalty. On January 25, 2012, Energy 21 paid the state a total of 485,700
$770.90 in late royalties for the disposition dates of November 2006 through November 2009. This payment was not related to a field audit. Energy 21 Gulf Coast submitted payment late due to correction of their revenue disbursement basis. Energy 21 was paying on a lease basis according to the division orders transferred from Castex upon acquisition. On December 5, 2011, Energy 21 Gulf Coast and the state were alerted by certain overriding royalty interest owners of a voluntary unit agreement dated December 14, 2005. Once the validity of the claim was established, Energy 21 made prompt payment to the state. Energy 21 was billed and paid $113,118.05 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 50% penalty waiver because royalty was outstanding more than 5 years. The amount of the reduction would be $70,871.48, with a balance due of $70,871.47 owed the state. We do have representatives from Energy 21 here that would like to address the board.
Thank you, Rachel. My name is Scott Patton. On behalf of Energy 21, I'm here with Mr. Ben Marshieve. We appreciate the staff's report. We couldn't have said the story better ourselves. We do request a reduction in the penalty of an additional 50%. As Rachel said, on December 5th of last year, we received a letter from certain third-party overriding royalty interest owners in State Lease 340 regards the payments on well number 185. Energy 21 was paying that on a lease basis instead of the voluntary unit basis established by Castex in 2005. We tried to turn this around and make as prompt payment as possible, and as Rachel said, we got the letter on December 5th, and by January 25th, we had paid the state $485,000 in late royalty. I'll let Mr. Marshieve kind of give a little more color on the situation of the transfer from Castex, just for the board's benefit.
We'd originally acquired the property from Castex in effective June 1 of 2006. They operated on our behalf from June 1 of 2006 to November 1 of 2006, at which point, between those 5 months, all of our decks were being rolled over so that we could start paying royalties effective November 1, 2006. It got lost in the shuffle. We continued to pay as Castex was paying from 2005 on a lease basis at 83.33 royalty, not on the VUA basis. The Bay sent us, carbon copied us on a letter that they had sent to the state, and once we got our hands around it and did agree with the claim, we moved promptly to pay back royalties on top of the interest and just to get the problem resolved. We also contacted our recent sale with Shoreline. The well was shut in during that time. It was effective June 1, 2011, so we got them to change their deck so that this problem wouldn't continue to happen, so they should be paying correctly from here forward.
Thank you. Ms. Segura, you have a question? Okay. Well, I have one. So if I understand this correctly, y'all making payments in a good faith manner. The state was accepting them. Third
Correct.
Party came along and said, it's wrong.
Correct.
Within 60 days, you'll pay the correct amount?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think more than 50% waiver would be in order.
Yeah, considering the circumstances, I'd like to recommend or make a motion to have a 100% waiver.
We have a motion from Mr. Segura to waive 100%, second by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the audience or public? Any comments or questions from the committee? Anyone oppose? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item two, please.
Item number two is a recoupment request from XTO Energy Incorporated for an overpayment in the amount of $29,664.51. State lease numbers involved are 16869 and 16870. For the sales month of July 2011, XTO paid royalty based on estimated volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment of oil. The staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed an overpayment was made and recommends that XTO Energy Incorporated is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
Heard staff's report. Any comments or questions from the public or from the committee? Do I have a motion to accept their request? Motion by Mr. Diaz. Second by Mr. Segura. Anyone oppose? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you.
Item number 3 is a recoupment request from XTO Energy Incorporated for an overpayment in the amount of $25,693.97. State lease numbers involved are again 16869 and 16870. For the sales month of March 2011, XTO Energy paid royalties based on incorrect volumes, which resulted in overpayment of oil. The staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that XTO Energy Incorporated is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You have heard of staff's review and recommendation.
I have a question.
Sure, Ms. Smith.
It seems that that has happened a couple of times in a 12-month period.
It did.
Are you comfortable that whatever might have caused those overpayments have been rectified?
I am confident. This one, actually, they paid on an incorrect month, which is just a little bit of a mistake, a little bit of a bookkeeping mistake. Okay. But they paid on the wrong month in this month, and it did happen twice. But hopefully, after two times, they've been made aware of it, and it won't happen again.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Any comments or questions from the committee or from the public? Move by Mr. Segura to accept staff's recommendation. Second by Mrs. Smith. Anyone opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Item 4.
Item number 4 is a staff report to the committee that the election for March 2012 gas royalty is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery plant at La Rose and the C. Robin plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to order. Mr. Bob Harper?
Here.
Paul Segura here. I'm here. Mr. Tom Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Emil Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Juba Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Bangram? Mr. Michael Morton? Mr. Thomas Sanders? Mr. Darrell Smith?
Here.
Ms. Helen Smith? Mr. Garrett Graves. Right. We have a quorum. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good morning. Before we get started, I want to make an addendum on item number 5. One is just kind of a clarification, and then we'd also like to add a request to that already existing item. The request we'd like to add is to place cohort on demand, in addition to assessing liquidated damages and penalties against them. The liquidated damages and penalties that we're asking for don't require them to be placed on demand, but in order to assess legal interest, we do have to put them on demand. So we would like to add a request to place them on demand to that already existing item. And the clarification is cohort has actually been, they actually merged with JW Operating on January 1st, and JW was the company that survived the merger. So cohort is now JW. So anywhere that I have cohort, we just want to replace that with JW Operating.
So you're
on item number 5 only.
All related to item number 5, you want to put them on demand.
Correct.
And anything that relates to cohort will be JW what?
Operating.
Operating. Okay. Do we have a motion to make the staff's changes to item 5, moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. Any questions or discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. That item is amended. Item 1.
Item number 1 is a request by Swift Energy Operating LLC for the waiver of liquidated damage assessments. This was on our agenda last month, and we had requested that it be deferred to this month. we're again requesting that it be deferred. Mineral Income is working with Swift Energy, and hopefully we'll know something by next month. But we're asking that be deferred until the April agenda.
All right. Any questions? Discussion? Okay. We have a motion to defer by Mr. Arnold. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Diaz. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, that motion carries. Item number two.
Item number two is a request by Aspect Resources LLC and Aspect Energy LLC for the waiver of liquidated damages. Also, this item was on our agenda last month, and we asked that it be deferred until this month. We're again asking that it be deferred until the April agenda so that Mineral Income can have an opportunity to work out an arrangement with Aspect.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to defer as staff recommends? Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item three.
Item number three is a request for final approval of a division order and agreement between the state of Louisiana and Rosemond Kuntz. Capamaza, yeah, et cetera, affecting state lease 18380. The division order has been drafted, advertised, and placed on the docket as item 1213. So staff does recommend final approval of this item.
All right. Do we have any questions, discussion? Any public comment? Do we have a motion? I have a motion by Mr. Arnold to move for final approval as recommended by staff. Do I have a second? Mr. Morton? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item four.
Item number four is a request by Trinity Exploration and Production LLC for a three-month extension of authority to escrow funds. Trinity was originally given authority to escrow funds on some tracts around the Red River at the November board meeting. The problem was, it was difficult for them to identify what acreage was actually disputed. So they met with staff back in February, and we did decide on which acreage would be deemed as disputed acreage. So they are just now requesting an additional 3 months so they can start escrowing that money.
And you agree based upon?
We did agree, yes.
Right. Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Smith to accept staff's recommendation to grant the extension for 90 days. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Cordero. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item five. What do you want to do with that one? Kidding.
Item number five is a request by staff to assess liquidated damages in the amount of $1,000, which is a cap. That amount is capped by revised statute 30136B2. We are also requesting to assess penalties against JW Operating for non-payment of royalties that are more than 60 days past due. Okay, here's what happened. And we're also asking to place JW Operating on demand. This is the area that involved the dispute around Lake Bistineau. And Cohort, as our lessee, a predecessor to JW, was escrowing funds attributable to the disputed tracts, pursuant to an escrow agreement between Cohort and the state of Louisiana. The agreement said that once the federal case that involved that acreage was resolved, whether by judgment, dismissal, settlement, or whatever, that the money in escrow would be released. That case was dismissed, I don't know the exact date, it was November 14th, 2011. So at that point, the money that was being held in escrow became due. We started negotiations with or discussions with Cohort to get that money released. But the problem was, to get it released, it required a joint release agreement between Cohort and the state of Louisiana. The bank required that. So we started working on the release agreement. And at that point, everything just kind of fell apart, and we sort of lost communication with Cohort. So we then sent them a letter letting them know that we intended to ask the board for liquidated damages and penalties, and they then got in touch with us and notified us that there was some potential acreage that would be potentially disputed by some landowners. you know, in our opinion, a potential dispute is not a dispute, and until it becomes an actual formal dispute, it's not relevant, and it really wouldn't be relevant as far as the funds that are being held in escrow anyway. So in our opinion, those funds became due and payable on November 14th when that case was dismissed. In addition to that, Cohort has continued to place money in that escrow account after the case, the federal case was dismissed, and they should have been paying that money directly to us because the escrow agreement only authorized them to escrow funds as long as that federal case was pending. So, you know, for both the funds that are being held in escrow and for the funds that have been paid into escrow after the federal case was dismissed, we would like to assess the liquidated damages and the penalty for the non-payment of royalty and, in addition, put them on demand so that the legal interest will kick in.
Ms. Dewey, is this also, excuse me, the escrow account where JW requested us to do an audit and we did the audit and completed it? Is that as a condition of releasing the funds?
It is related to that case, but the audit that we did, we actually audited PetroHawk, which was the successor to KCS, which was the federal lessee. So it's all related to the same acreage, and it's related to that federal suit, but it was PetroHawk that was actually audited.
In essence, the staff has done everything they've been requested to do to get the money released.
That is correct.
How much money is it?
Roughly $1.8, $1.9 million, plus what they've put into it since November, so probably close to $2 million.
And you want to assess them $1,000?
Well, the cap on liquidated damages is 10% or 1,000, whichever is lower. So we're capped at $1,000 on that. However, the penalty, the way the penalty works is it's 2% every month accruing up to 24%. So the penalty would be fairly significant.
And what are the, you also state staff to assess additional penalties.
That's the 2%.
That's the 2%.
Okay.
And that begins 60 days after due. 61 days.
61 days.
And due is the date that
the suit was dismissed.
Correct. So the penalties would start accruing 61 days from November 14th, 2011, which would have been sometime in January.
And that penalty, did you say, is 2% or 2.5% per month for a 30-day period?
2% per month up to a maximum of 24%.
Okay. So now, at this point, it would be about $45,000 that they would owe us in penalties, $40,000 to $45,000.
I'd have to calculate.
It'd be about 4%.
Plus the $1,000.
Of a million. Oh, it's $2 million. It's almost $2 million, though. Right. So it would be about $80,000. Okay. All right.
All right. Would you like to make some comments?
Please. Tim Allen, in behalf of JW Operating Company, they are the successor by merger to Cohort Energy Company that entered into this escrow agreement. Just to differ slightly with Ms. Dewey on the question of the due date, the lawsuit was dismissed on November 14th. 2011, that is correct, but I don't think that is the due date because the escrow agent has the funds in hand, and the escrow agreement provides that is proper payment of the royalties into the escrow account. Now, you know, we may have an issue about after November 14th whether monies were erroneously placed in the escrow account for subsequent months or maybe 1 month, but that's not the due date. The escrow agent can't release the funds without written instructions from both parties. And so subsequent to that dismissal, there have been negotiations between JW and the Mineral Board as to the wording of a mutual release agreement to the escrow agent. There, I think, have been some confusion or miscommunications as of this moment. There's really only one paragraph that was kind of the hang-up, and that was whether or not royalty reports have already been provided to the state. And JW thinks that has already been done. The Mineral Board is not certain that it has been done. And so that language the proposed language the mineral board has. JW's proposed some additional language. I sent a revision of that as of yesterday. The issue of the release of all the funds due to potential claims by other parties has been resolved. JW is willing to release all the funds plus the accrued interest that's in the escrow account at present. We don't think that November 14th is the due date because there was no demand. The demand that has been made was February the 28th, and the statute provides, as far as the 2% penalty, that it's 61 days after a demand or the due date. And until the parties have directed the escrow agent to release the funds, you know, I don't think they're technically due. They've been paid properly into the escrow account at this point, at least through the time the lawsuit was dismissed. So, JW, you know, I think subject to working out the verbiage of that mutual release agreement, JW is perfectly willing to release all funds at this point, and we would ask for a waiver of those penalties at this point in time. If the board wishes, perhaps you might defer it till next month to make sure that's done. But
so your hang up is the reporting?
There's some language in there about JW providing reports, royalty reports. JW, you know, I'm told at least that they feel that they've already done that. There's a confusion as to whether that's been done, and that's been the language that's been the hang-up in signing that
and then
mutual
why,
release.
If why? I might, let me make one. That's not the only language. There's also language in there that was replaced that says that Cohort properly put all of the funds into the escrow account to begin with. The state is not willing to agree to that until they've audited. That's what the what was supposed to be provided with SR9 forms, so that the state could audit and see whether or not the proper amount of funds were placed into the escrow account. And we're not asking, we're not holding up based on getting those documents. What the agreement originally said is that we would agree to the release of the funds subject to getting those documents and then an audit to make sure that the proper amount of funds were placed into the escrow account. That's the language that's been changed. The language that's been changed now says that all of the documents have been provided and Cohort has placed the proper amount of funds into the escrow account. We don't know that, and we're not going to agree to that.
And also, I'd like to add that that issue, that particular issue, just came up yesterday. That was the first that we've heard of any problems with that issue. Prior to that, it was just a lack of communication from Cohort. And if you look in the binders that you have, there's a timeline that is in there that if you look at it, you can see where we first started trying to get this money, you know, back in November, December timeframe, and you can see all of the attempted emails we've sent to Cohort, and they've just been non-responsive. The last communication that I had with them prior to letting them know that we intended to ask you guys for liquidated damages and penalties, the last email was when we drafted the agreement that had the original language in it that said Cohort would agree to provide royalty reports to us. I sent that to Cohort's attorney, not Mr. Allen, a different attorney, and she said, we have no problem with this. And the last communication was, let's get it signed by everybody. And that was when everything fell apart, and there was just no communication whatsoever with Cohort, from Cohort, after that, well, despite numerous attempts.
I forgot my question. Why do you want to get the money if you don't know exactly what it is yet, without the reporting?
Well, the reporting.
You know, why do you want the money? I'm just asking why.
Why do we want
the reporting? Is just a reconciliation that verifies that the money matches the production. So the process normally is that we get the money and then we reconcile the money against the production reports to make sure that everything is correct.
And what if it's wrong?
Then we bill them. Then we bill them for the difference, just like you would any royalty.
Okay.
And then it would also be subject to an audit because reconciling the SR9s against the money that was placed into escrow is just sort of a surface audit, if you right. will.
Let me ask you, why have y'all continued to put money in after this lawsuit is over?
Well, I think that was in error. Since the escrow agreement, they had not agreed on the release of the funds that were there. I think Cohart or JW just continued to put the royalties in there every.
And what about the reports that they say do not exist, right? They don't, you don't have them.
Well, they.
Right?
We don't think we do. We're going to check on it.
They're not again. Certain of that. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. There's confusion over whether those reports have already, you know, been.
Then why don't you. Why don't you sign an agreement releasing the funds subject to providing and not providing the reports?
Well, that's the language that they've been working on, and I think we can massage that and get that done. I mean, at this point, Cohart's willing to release the funds that are there, and if it's not correct, you know, we hadn't provided the reports.
Are you required the reports by law or by contractual agreement?
Statutory. It's statutory. You know, and
I'm not even sure that needs to be addressed in the agreement. I mean, all this agreement really needs to do is tell the escrow agent to release the funds they have.
Well, if it is by statute of law, it shouldn't matter whether you agree with them or not. It is what it is.
And another
right?
thing, if it doesn't matter, then why did they add the language that says Cohart properly paid into the account?
Right.
Because we don't know that, and there's no way to prove that without the documents.
I think that this particular issue can be worked out. It's just a question of verifying whether or not we actually received the SR reports. We don't think we did. They say they sent them. That can be verified. And like I said, this issue just came up yesterday, so we haven't had a chance to verify it yet. But that's easily remedied. If
well,
they
that
sent
would
them to
seem
us,
that it would be easily remedied, that if you did, you did. If you didn't,
right.
then you send them.
But that shouldn't change
ticking,
the language.
The time's ticking on the release of the funds, so it would seem you'd rather release than get fined.
Right. It was just
penalized.
The negotiation as far as the mutual release agreement, I wasn't involved in that until yesterday.
That's correct.
Really. You know, I'm here to try to facilitate that in behalf of JW Operating Company, and I think that can be easily resolved. But, until I guess a month or so ago, as I understand it, I don't have the timeline that you've been provided, and I have not been involved in each of these discussions up to this point. But until a month or so ago, I mean, I think they've been negotiating on the, you know, revision of that agreement to direct the escrow agent to release the funds, and I'm confident that can be accomplished once we verify whether those reports have been provided or not, and I'm not sure what production audit has signed off on at this point or not.
But the agreement says you have to pay based upon ending of the lawsuit, not on a mutually agreeable release document, right?
Well, the agreement says that the funds will be released, but that the escrow agent has to be. Cohart can't write a check tomorrow. The funds are sitting there.
Right, it has to be mutually agreeable by both parties.
Right. Exactly.
But what's
let me,
to prevent
let me address that.
Somebody from holding it up?
Mr. Allen has indicated that the due date shouldn't be set as November 14th, which is the date that the federal suit was dismissed, because to get the money released requires a joint agreement. And he's saying, if I understand right, that the right. clock shouldn't start ticking until the agreement to release the funds is signed by both parties. I disagree with that, because if that was the case, Cohart could indefinitely delay getting the mutual agreement signed, and we would never get the funds. And in my opinion, that's kind of sort of what's been going on, because we've been trying since December to get these funds released, and we have not been able to get them to sign a joint agreement. And it's not because of the language dealing with the production reports, because that just came up yesterday. So what I'd like to know is, between December and yesterday, why hasn't Cohart or JW signed this release agreement?
Well, the information provided to me is the language that references the royalty reports was the hang-up. The rest of the language, as far as I know, JW was okay with.
It would just seem to me, if you felt like you already did them and you are required by law, you should feel comfortable about releasing.
And may I also state that the language of the agreement as originally proposed, that was written up by Ms. Dewey, didn't say that before the money's released, we have to get those reports and audit it. All it said was that the money would be released subject to that documents being received and verification that the proper amount of funds were placed into this. It's just like any other audit after royalty has been paid. So that should not have held up the release of the funds. What we were told was the holdup was that the landman for Cohart suddenly found that there might be a problem with private individuals who might make a claim to some of the acreage. That's what we were told. It wasn't that the language was difficult. It's just that, and there was, I said, where's the demand? Has there been any demand by the private individual? There has been no demand. So it was just a possible claim.
And this group hasn't surfaced.
Excuse me?
The group that supposedly has a disagreement has not surfaced, the private group.
Oh, no. Not that we know of. We haven't been told. Because when I talked with Mr. Allen the other day, I said, has there been a demand? Do you have a copy of a letter that's a demand? Well, of course, there has been none produced.
It would seem that because of that, if that is true, then both parties would want to expedite getting the money.
I would have thought so.
Mr. Segura.
Yeah. Yes.
I would like to ask, is there any doubt in your mind who the rightful owner of this $1.9 million? Well, is it clearly the state of Louisiana in your mind or in your JW operating cohort?
There actually, I think, were two separate issues. One was the question of whether there were conflicting claims, and the other was the language in the mutual release agreement.
But on November the 14th, am I clear that there was a judgment from the court that should have cleared all of that up?
No.
Well, that was only between the federal government and the state. No private individuals were involved.
Right. There were no private claimants involved in that. The issue has been resolved as between the United States and the state of Louisiana, and that lawsuit has been dismissed. Cohart had concern because there may have been some written demands. My response to Mr. Heck was, you know, I don't know how many or if there has been written demands by private claimants or not. There have, as I understand it, been some written demands, some, you know, phone calls from individuals, and I think there's about 300 tracts involved here, so it's a lot of acreage. But there was a question in Cohart's mind. As of yesterday, I was advised that Cohart is willing to release all the funds, and that issue has been resolved. So at this point, Cohart has no reservations about having all the funds released, and it's as soon as we can get this language released or agreed to and directive to the escrow agent, you know, the funds will be released, which I think is what both parties want to have happen at this point. But there has been some confusion over furnishing those reports or not, and negotiation of the mutual release agreement, which is the reason I say, I mean, as we speak, the state doesn't know. We don't know whether that's actually been done. I have copies of the last month's, you know, royalty reports.
But these funds are clearly the state of Louisiana's funds.
At this point, Cohart is
conceding that
they are the state's monies and
absolutely,
they should be released. And we're just asking that the penalties be waived at this point and we proceed on and get those funds released.
Probably that request should have been made prior to Cohart taking it upon themselves to withhold the funds. So the idea of the penalty generally is to punish behavior that we don't want more of. So what would be your thinking? They withheld the money, the state, it was due to be in the state's coffers.
We didn't really withhold the money. They've been negotiating since the dismissal of the lawsuit on a mutual release document, and that has not been resolved as of this point in time. But you can't say that November 14th, 2011 is the due date, because nothing could be paid on that date without both parties shooting off directive to the Vintage Bank as the escrow agent. So,
but we're just saying the holdup is required by law. So if it's required by law, and you think you did it, then why not release? And if you are required by law and you didn't do it, you could release and then provide those things after, right?
That's what the original language said. That's why we don't understand what the holdup. And besides which, to indicate that there was negotiation going on would indicate that both parties were communicating.
Well, and
we had a four-month period in there where, or three-month period in there where there was absolutely no response from Cohort to a number of emails that were sent.
And then if there was this claim of a complaint by some landowners, you would want to get it moving even more so, it would seem.
Well, anyway, if JW will agree to keep the language in there that whether we got the SR9s or whatever, whether we got them or not, all the language says is that the money will be released subject to us getting them. If we already got it, no problem.
Right.
But also the language has to stay in there that subject to verification that Cohort put the correct amount of money into the fund. We're not going to state that they did until we know for sure.
I think
putting them on demand, are you thinking, would motivate them to do this?
It got them to the table today.
Okay.
I think the original language that I drafted said Cohort or JW agrees to provide SR9 royalty reporting forms. So if they had already reported them, that language would cover that, in my opinion. So I think the original language should be fine, whether they've already submitted them or not. It's going to cover them either way.
How long does it normally take for a demand to go through? If we approve it today?
I'll get it drafted and in the mail tomorrow. I mean,
unless you want us to delay it a week.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible to delay a week to give them a chance to act in good faith and release it?
Sure.
Seven days?
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely, no problem. You tell us.
All you're doing now is giving us the authority to do it. There's no time frame.
I would like to make a motion to
go ahead.
Place them on demand, defer it for 7 days, and to reframe any further action regarding penalty waivers until next month.
And we'll come back next week and tell you what happened. I mean, next month and tell you what happened.
You can call me next week.
Next week? Okay, I'll give you a call.
Make that into a motion.
Is calling in the motion?
I would second that motion.
All right. Motion by Mr. Arnold. Second by Ms. Smith. Any questions or discussion from the board? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Right, item six.
Item number six is a request by Mid-States Petroleum Company, LLC, for an operating agreement affecting Section 27, Township 6 South, Range 11 West, South Bearhead Creek Field in Beauregard Parish. They are also requesting to escrow the production payments attributable to that acreage and to take that acreage out of commerce until an operating agreement can be negotiated and perfected.
And the reason for the operating agreement is this is another case of the All Britain type situation where the land was patented out, the warrant was taken prior to 21, the land was patented out after 21, same parties.
And this is not a Haynesville play. This is in the Wilcox. So thought that might be relevant.
Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? Do a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 7.
Staff is going to request that this item be withdrawn.
Okay. We have a recommendation by the staff to withdraw item 7. We have a motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Diaz. Any questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.
Okay, item number 8, what is originally put on is the notification to the Mineral Board by the staff for consideration for further discussion at a later time to change the primary term on all leases to reflect 5 years. The way it is right now is inland tracks are 3 years, offshore tracks are 5 years. And when that was originally done, the reason for that was because the time frame to drill a well in the offshore area was considerably longer than it was to do it on land because of the type of rig necessary, those kinds of things. However, nowadays, because of deep drilling wells, the time frame even for inland tracks is lengthened more than 3 years in many cases. In fact, today in the tract evaluation, you heard a request to advertise inland tracks for 5 years. Now, what is proposed by our Deputy Assistant Secretary, and I agree with it, is not to change the primary term of all leases to 5 years necessarily, but put language in there as we did for the tertiary recovery that says if you can show this if you can show that this lease is a part of a unit that is going to have a deep drilling well, then the primary term will change to 5 years. That's what we did to those tertiary recovery.
Automatically, or you have to?
Well, written notification and resolution on resolution of the board, it would change.
And what constitutes a deep well in this manner? I know what a deep well is, but you know, where is your
cutoff point?
Yeah.
Geologists would probably be better than that, but probably in a neighborhood of 18,000 to deeper.
You won't set an amount.
Before we change the language of the lease, we will.
Okay. Any questions from anyone?
But that doesn't require any action now, because remember, this is for further discussion. What we'll do is we'll come back to you with all of the answers to the questions that you had. But this is just to let you know and start thinking about doing that, so that when we bring in a probably next mineral board meeting, we will have a full discussion with all the relevant information.
I have a question. So basically, leases are going to be, we're going to give companies 5 years.
If they can show that it's going to be if that lease is going to participate in a deep well. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So they can wait until the fourth year and then initiate trying to get a rig.
Well, not necessarily, because what we talk about, and even on the tertiary recovery, is good faith. Okay, if you don't do anything for 4 years, you haven't even tried to do anything for 4 years or 3 years, and then at the very last minute you say, "Oh, I'm going to participate in a deep well." Okay, show us what you've done. Have you permitted a deep well? Have you created a unit that would include this lease? Because all that has to be done. You can't do that in the last last year or so. So all of these permitting and things those are evidences that have to be shown that lease is going to participate in a deep well. So if all of that evidence is shown, then on a resolution by the board, and we verify to the board that this has been done, by resolution of the board, you can change it to a 5-year primary term.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Charles Bradbury is in the audience, and he's our petroleum engineer. Perhaps he could address the issues of what would constitute a deep well and what would take longer than three years to drill?
Well, but we don't have to discuss that now. We can discuss it next month, unless you want to.
I was just asking.
Okay.
From the standpoint of you know, ambiguity in an agreement, that you wouldn't be arguing about, in the sense that you wouldn't be arguing about it later.
Well, typically, what would constitute a deep well? Right now, I think we're probably looking more toward deep and ultra deep. There's existing legislation out there to distinguish between the two. Deep has usually been historically deeper than 15,000 feet. Ultra deep, according to what's going on down the street right now, they're looking at 22,000 feet. 20,000 feet, you know, 18 to 20,000 feet usually is when the costs change, the number of rigs that could actually drill a well change around about that point. The other thing that you find is a lot of these wells will take more than a year to drill, And then to get additional tubulars may take, I mean, we had a situation, Blueberry Hill with MacMoran, it took almost three years to get the casing to put in the well to complete the well because it was, you know, such an unusual environment, they had to fabricate it. So there are long cycle times that are associated with these deep wells, and even if they were to drill a well successfully in the 3 years, they may take another 3 years to complete the well,
right?
Up to three, possibly 3 years. I mean, that's one of the things we're finding. Different comments are being things, 18 months to 3 years.
Is that an issue at Chevron's Basin now with the force majeure request?
Yeah, that's part of it. They in today's case, they reached a point where to go deeper, the rig floor to the ground isn't high enough for them to add on to the blowout preventers so that they're prepared for the higher pressures. I mean, so far they haven't seen the pressures that everybody was expecting. So they're going to have to take the whole rig off, build a superstructure underneath where the platform normally would be, then stick the platform on top of it. And they have some cabling and some wiring and some other safety things that they have to take care of, too. So, you know, that's what's going on there. It's a very unusual environment when you get below, you know, 18,000, 20,000 feet because the rigs, you know, they're very specialized rigs that are required to do this. So there are only a handful that can do them, you know, in these environments. And the other thing you have in Louisiana is you have just this huge variety of environments that you're drilling in. You can be on land, you can be in a bog, you can be in water that's, you know, 5 feet deep, you can barely get out to, you can be in, you know, 60 feet of water. I mean, it's just a whole range of things and environments. So you need rigs that can be able to do that, and they're generally very few and far between. So in this case, in the Chevron's case, that's the only rig right now that's available that could do the job, and they're going to have to retool the location so they can actually finish drilling the well.
Well, my only concern was, I mean, everybody knows generally what a deep well is, but right. When you get to arguing over, well, I need this extra 2 years, that you need to define what a deep well is.
Right.
And we'll have all that when we come. In fact, what I propose is if when we present it to you for further discussion, we'll have the actual language that to be put in the lease drawn up so you can see. And it will have a definite set, either one or set of depths.
Okay.
Or other criteria.
Yeah, whatever other criteria that G&E people think would all be right. necessary.
Good. Thank you all. Thank
one other question. Is that primarily for oil or gas?
Usually the deeper you go, you end up with gas, but they're finding these things, there's condensate down there too.
Yeah.
So you can get in. It's like you don't know what you got until you drill it.
Well, we have plenty of gas now, so.
Well, deep wells, some of these deep wells have a lot of condensate, so it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Charles.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to item 9. That's an executive session item. So do I have a motion to go into executive session? Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We'll be in executive session for a few minutes, and we'll be right out to resume the meeting, or the committee meeting.
Registry until we can audit.
Yeah.
That's it for us.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in, to come out of executive session and back in regular session.
Motion.
Moved by motion by Ms. Smith, second by Mr. Arnold. Any questions or comment, public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session.
Thank you. Item number 9 was simply a discussion in executive session, and no action is required by the board.
All right. Thank you very much.
That concludes legal and title.
Any other questions for legal? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion for to adjourn the legal and title controversy committee. Moved by Mr. Cordero, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
The docket review committee will come to order. Call the roll. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Ingram? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Mr. Sanders? Daryl Smith?
Here.
Helen Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
We have a quorum. Mr. Dennis, would you present the staff's recommendations to the committee?
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the March 14, 2012 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number 1. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through items number 19. Item number 20, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 21 and item number 22. Item number 23, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve item number 24. Item 25 and item 26, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. For category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 through items number 3, and this will complete the staff's recommendation to the docket review committee.
Are there any public comments to the staff's recommendation? Are there any comments from the board?
I move to approve staff's recommendation.
I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second? I have a second, Mr. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. They have a motion to adjourn the docket review committee.
Move.
Motion and a second by Mr. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The docket committee review is now adjourned. We will.
Ms. Smith? Mr. Klein. Mr. Chairman, we have 9 members present and a quorum.
Great, thank you. Item 2 is approval of the February 8th, 2012 minutes. Do you have a motion to approve those minutes? Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. Any discussion, any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, the motion carries. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, the Lease Review Committee, B, Nomination and Track Committee, C, Audit Committee, D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee, E, Docket Review Committee. Any members have any questions or discussion of those committee meetings and recommendations? If not, any public comment? Do you have a motion to approve the adoption of the committee recommendations A through E?
I move.
We have a motion for approval by Ms. Smith, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 4 is our executive session for our technical briefing. Are we ready for that? Do I have a motion to go into executive session? A motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Morton. Any questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back shortly. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to go back into regular session from executive session. Have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 42522, we're recommending that the bid of Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services be accepted. On track number 42541, the staff recommends that the bid of Audubon Oil and Gas be rejected for insufficient consideration and that the track be re-advertised with minimums. On track number 42542, the staff recommends that the bid by Audubon Oil and Gas be rejected for insufficient consideration and that this track be re-advertised with minimums. And on track number 42543, staff recommends that the bid of Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation be rejected for insufficient consideration and that this track be re-advertised with minimums. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we're recommending that all of those bids be accepted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Any questions or discussion on any of those tracks? Any public comment? If not, do I have a motion to approve the staff's recommendations of those bids? So moved. I have a motion by Mr. Arnold, a second by Mr. Morton. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Those bids are accepted and awarded as leases. Item six, the announcements.
We have two announcements today. Excuse me. The staff has developed a new bid form which has built-in controls to address some of the errors that we've seen in the past year regarding the rental rate or the price per acre. And that bid form is on our website and available to be downloaded and used. And if the bidders will use that, that should help prevent them from having their bids rejected due to calculation errors on the bid forms. And we encourage people to use it. The total for today's lease sale is $1,015,037.74, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to slightly more than $23 million.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Talley. Any other announcements? If not, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. Motion by Ms. Smith, second by Mr. Martin. All in favor? Public comment? All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.